Greetings, Tacoma. John Doherty here for KTAH 101.9. This is Climate Talk, the program where we talk about all things climate. What's happening? What's going on? How do we interpret what's going on? What should we do? Those kind of things. And we do all of these things in a respectful way, always. By the way, if you'd like to communicate with me, you can send me an email at John, J-O-H-N, at cclTacoma.org. That's John at cclTacoma.org. I will respond to all emails personally and look forward to hearing from you. So what's big going on right now? Well, COVID-19 is what's going on, and so I'm going to talk about that pandemic and what possible lessons we can learn, how we can make some applications towards climate change. So right off the bat, there are some significant similarities. Both of these issues, COVID-19 and climate change, are worldwide phenomenon. One is slow moving, the other is fast. So what can we say about comparisons between the two? You know, I think one of the most interesting things about climate change and about something like a pandemic is how we react as human beings. Both of these are human problems. They just don't exist without us. And so let's take a look at that. One of the things I see that's common to both, keeping in mind that one's slow-moving and one's fast, is that we start off, in a certain sense, minimizing or denying what's really unfolding. And those denials are based on our own personal prejudices. And lest anybody think otherwise, we all have our own personal prejudices. We tend to think of prejudice as being something that somebody else has, but hey, it's really about us too. And it's helpful also to recognize that we do have prejudices and take a look at them. Doesn't mean that we can get rid of them. It just means that we're maybe thinking a little more clearly if we can see what our own prejudices are. So right off the bat, with both of these issues, climate change and COVID-19, we see people denying or minimizing what's going on. And those denials and minimizing are based in a lot of respects on our beliefs. And those beliefs drive what our political opinions are, and what we do as a species collectively is based in part on what our political opinions are. You know, it's important to recognize that beliefs are not facts. It's difficult sometimes to see that distinction because, once again, it's kind of a human bias that we take our beliefs as facts, but beliefs aren't facts. So, for instance, it is a fact that viruses spread geometrically, whether we like to think so or not. Our belief that something is just going to go away doesn't have anything to do with whether it goes away or not. One of the things we see from COVID-19, at the place we're at right now as I make this recording anyway, is that if things become dire enough, governments will act. So governments were reluctant to act in a lot of cases early on. Politicians looking at what the political consequences for them were, what the impact on the economy would be, and so on. Ignoring all along what scientists were saying, the reality was, and politicians and people who listen to politicians acting as though their beliefs and opinions had something to do with what was going to actually transpire. So what's it going to take? Well, with the COVID-19 virus, what it took was kind of brute facts of multiple deaths and increases in cases all over the world, and the realization that the virus was spreading so rapidly that something drastic had to be done. Well, there's a problem with climate change. And that is that climate change is happening very slowly. One day pretty much seems like the next. Even when things are changing, we see an annual change of maybe a tenth of a degree Fahrenheit. Over time, this makes a difference, but it's not enough of a difference for us to be able to see it. I teach a class in climate change for continuing education at Tacoma Community College, and I show a video that the first version of that video shows something changing on the screen very slowly. The second part of the video shows that same change blinking back and forth. People universally cannot see things that are changing slowly in that video. It's not like some people are better at it than others. It's just it's beyond our ability as human beings to perceive things that happen slowly. Things that happen quickly, we can perceive of. So the what's it going to take question about climate change, what's it going to take for governments to take action? We do have catastrophes periodically, and we know from the scientific community that those catastrophes, and I'm talking about forest fires, wildfires, bushfires, tornadoes, hurricanes, weather events such as those are increasing in their severity over time along with climate change. But seems like we've always had those events, and it's a little difficult to see that one's worse than the other. If the sea level rises a few millimeters a year, that's pretty tough to see too. There is such a thing as tipping points, both with the COVID-19 virus and with climate change. As the rate of infection sped up to the point where it was impossible to ignore, we reached a tipping point, and even those who had denied the existence or the significance of the virus were forced to acknowledge that, yeah, this is significant and we've got to do something. There are tipping points out there waiting for us related to the climate too. Some I can think of: as the earth warms, the permafrost is going to melt and it's going to release huge amounts of methane. Methane is a potent greenhouse gas, and that's going to make it even warmer. Scientists talk about the possibility of a runaway climate, and that kind of thing is what could lead to a runaway climate. That means that the tipping point has been reached, and unlike the COVID-19 virus, where we can eventually develop a vaccine, there's not going to be any vaccine for that kind of climate catastrophe. There's another thing I see, a lesson from looking at COVID-19, and that is, it's easy to think that our system is pretty robust, it's pretty strong. We go to the grocery store, it's full of food. We go to the service station, we fill up our tanks with gas, don't give it a second thought. The COVID-19 virus has pointed out the fragility of our economic system. We have short supply lines with businesses doing just-in-time stocking of shelves. Businesses that get along carrying loads of debt until something goes wrong. I have a loved one who's gone from having a good, promising, well-paying, respectful career just a month ago to learning recently that her company was going out of business and that she didn't have a job anymore. A direct result of the impacts of the COVID-19 virus. Thinking that every day is going to be pretty much like the day before impacts our thinking about climate, too. We think of the environment as a place where we can do just about anything we want to, and if we damage something, well, we could just work our way out of that. Really, we can't. There are damages that we do that are irreversible. When a species goes extinct, it's extinct forever. Now, the majority of Americans understand the science underlying climate change. They know that the Earth is warming, and they know why it's warming. The problem is not in understanding or accepting the science. The problem is not in the denial of science. The problem is that we're not really doing anything to address the problem because it's happening so slowly. We can rationalize to ourselves, well, we can take care of that some future time, or maybe there's going to be some kind of technology that will save us. We don't do anything. In fact, in some ways, we do worse than not doing anything, because each year, worldwide production of carbon dioxide increases over the previous year. Science is there to point the way to us. In regard to the climate, science tells us that if we reduce fossil fuel consumption and the associated carbon dioxide emissions, the methane emissions. If we change our eating habits, if we change our transportation system, we can live in a clean and healthy world where the climate is stable. Just like scientists tell us, the solution for the COVID-19 virus is developing a vaccine, and of course the scientists are hard at work right now developing that vaccine, and they probably will. They won't develop it based on beliefs or opinions. They'll develop that vaccine on hard science. Put a little differently, our opinions don't have anything to do with what's going on in the physical world. What I mean by that is that chemistry and physics don't care what our beliefs about chemistry and physics are. They are immutable laws that have been discovered by experimentation and research and observation over time. Now, our opinions, of course, do have a big impact on what we do, but it doesn't have anything to do with what the underlying situation in the physical world is. Some countries have done a better job than others in terms of getting out in front of the COVID-19 situation. The reality is, the sooner countries started taking action, the less severe the results of the virus were. Same thing is true of climate change. We know what's going on. We need to get out in front of it. And the way we get out in front of it is to convince our political leaders that action needs to be taken, or they're going to lose their jobs. Now, it's pretty clear that the COVID-19 situation is going to be addressed over time. There's going to be plenty of people pay big prices for it along the way, but it is going to be addressed. There's a big question about whether climate change is going to be addressed in the same way. Certainly, the challenges are not going to pass, and certainly we haven't started paying attention to them anywhere near to the degree of seriousness that we have to take attention to them if we're going to have an impact. I want to make just one more quick point here. There are a couple of approaches to climate change. One is adaptation, the other is mitigation. In mitigation, we do things collectively to reduce the impact of climate change. Adaptation is taking steps either individually or collectively to reduce the impact on us as individuals. I think one of the messages of the COVID-19 virus is that we can't always depend on government to take care of us in times of crisis, that sometimes we're just on our own. And I think that's something that a wise person will put in the back of their mind as they look towards the future. I'm going to finish up here today with a quote from Ben Santer. He's an atmospheric scientist with the U.S. National Academy of Sciences. He was quoted recently in the Scientific American as follows: "Climate change endangers every present and future citizen of this planet. If we truly care about the health of our communities, countries, and global commons, we must find ways of powering the planet without relying on fossil fuels. It would be a tragedy to survive the coronavirus but succumb to human-caused climate disruption. An abundance of caution demands that we address both problems." Once again, I'd love to hear from you. You can email me at john@cclTacoma.org. So for now, I'm reminding you to always live like the mountain is out. Take care, y'all.